I have nothing but love and respect for this man, and so grateful that he's here. And the reason why I asked David to give the last message to us, and then after he finishes, we're going to have some more time of prayer and ministry and a couple of other closing testimonies. But I wanted David to share because he represents to me all the good things that God is doing right now in the younger generation, and that there is a move of God among the younger generation in America, and it is a Holy Spirit move. David Abraham is not apologizing for the fact that he believes in being filled with the Holy Spirit, believes in miracles, believes in the power of God. And guys, we cannot be the warriors that God has called us to be without being filled and empowered fully by the Holy Ghost. I'm not apologizing for that, and I'm so grateful that God is raising up a new generation of young people who believe that. And so David and his wife, Rebecca, live in Orlando, and he travels as an evangelist. He is raise his support, and he goes and he travels, and he's stepped out on faith to give his life to stirring the pot and stirring up the Holy Spirit in this young generation. So can we give it up for David Abraham this morning?
Hallelujah. How's everyone doing this morning? Awesome, man. You guys ate that breakfast. That's awesome. You guys seem ready to go. Can I tell you something? And I'm going to just jump right into it. You are living in one of the greatest times in history.
That's right.
I'm glad that three people agree and believe that. I'm going to say that again. Let's try this side. Guys, you are living in one of the greatest times in history. Thank you. Now, I know there's some of you that look at me and you're like, bro, do you not watch the news? Like, have you not seen what's going on with ISIS and what's going on in our country and what's going on with the political scheme and realm in America and what's going on around the world? I do watch the news. And I do know what's going on. And I can still stand here and tell you, you are living one of the greatest times in history. Now, I used to grow up, I'm a pastor's kid, I'm a PK. You can pray for me. I actually come from four generations of Pentecostal preachers. My great-grandfather planted churches in North India and in Pakistan. My grandfather started one of the largest Indian churches in America. My father started a multi-ethnic church in South Florida. And I'm the black sheep. I'm the evangelist. Meaning I travel and speak. I didn't plant a church. Praise God. You can pray for me for that too. But here's what I'm saying. I used to think, man, if I could grow up at any time in history, if I could be born any time, the greatest time I think would probably be the time Jesus was around. Now, have you ever asked that question to yourself? If I could be born any time in history, has anyone asked that question? Am I the only weird one here? Okay. All right. Okay. Awesome. I noticed God uses weird people, so I'm okay with that. I've always thought, man, it would be awesome to be around the time when Jesus was walking and doing ministry. To see the miracles, to see the things God did, to see, him walking on water, to see him healing the blind eyes and seeing deaf ears open, to see him taking 5 loaves and 2 fishes from a little fat boy and making the largest fish fry in history. What, did you ask me how did I know it was a fat boy? Listen, there's 5,000 people and only one person bought lunch. You can venture off into, if you look at my bag, there's a bunch of granola bars. I'm just saying, fat people come prepared for moments. Leviticus 3:16 says the fat belongs to the Lord, okay? I just say, Lord, all I am is yours. That's all I'm saying. Any video gamers in this house, in this room? Raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Raise your hand. Listen, don't be ashamed. Actually, you should be ashamed. Listen, that's pathetic, guys. No, I'm just kidding. I love video games. Now, I'm married. I have 3 kids. I'm a vocational evangelist, so I really don't have time to play video games. And when I do, my wife usually says, shouldn't the kids be playing video games and not you? And I said, woman, quiet down! And then she said, wait, isn't your mentor Lee Grady? And I said, you're right. Forgive me. I love video games. I love it. Now, when I grew up, my dad bought me something called a Nintendo. Man, oh man, oh man. One of the greatest systems ever. And there was a game that I love so much. I don't know if it's because I'm brown, but the game is called Duck Hunt. Can you please? Look at this boy. That was me. And you are shooting at a screen that is, it's not really me, but that was what I was like, that cute little boy. You're shooting at the screen that's right in front of you. And I remember shooting and shooting and shooting. And I thought to myself, man, it can't get better than this. And then, like a year or two later, my friend gets something called the Super Nintendo. And my mind was blown. I'm like, how is there a Super Nintendo? I thought it couldn't get better than this. And I said, surely, as long as God is God over Israel, it cannot get better than a Super Nintendo. Now, I'm fortunate enough, when I grew up, when I was in high school, my dad gave me a cell phone. He said, son, listen, this thing is pretty expensive. I think it's like $100 for 15 minutes. Do not use this unless you have an emergency. Do you remember those plans? Anyone remember those plans? 15 minutes, like $100. Roaming is like $5 a minute. Like, what? And this is the phone I had. Listen, I'm not kidding you. My phone, listen. No, it's the other one. Can you please load Zach Morris? This was my phone. My phone would cover my face and like, it had a huge antenna. I said, hey dad, can you pick me up? Huge phone. This is what I dealt with. It was bigger than my books in my backpack. And then I went to college and I was able to upgrade my phone. I said, you know what? I want to get a cooler phone. This thing is ancient. Zach Morris has it. I want to get something cooler. I got this new phone. Can you please load that phone, please? And I said to myself, it's so small. It was so compact. I could play a game called Pong on it. I said, it cannot get better than this. And all the iPhone users say, amen. Hey, I'm about that joy life, bro. I'm about it. But if you do want to bless me with an iPhone, I have no problem with that. And I've had these moments where I say, it can't get better. Right. But being that I was brought up in church, I would sit in a service. And I would read these stories in the Bible. I would hear these stories growing up about David killing Goliath. About Moses parting the Red Sea. About a generation coming out of the wilderness and becoming their own people. And I'm sitting in church week after week. And I'm a pastor's kid, so it wasn't week after week. It was Wednesday night prayer, Friday night prayer, Saturday morning prayer, Saturday night prayer, Sunday morning prayer, Sunday second morning prayer, Sunday evening service, Monday fasting and prayer. Just so many services. And I just kept telling myself, there's got to be more than this. There's absolutely got to be more than this. How many of you like enjoy chocolate? Raise your hand. Listen, I saw how many Kit Kats there were, so there should be more hands than that. Can I tell you something? I love chocolate. As you can probably tell. I can see that you're a prophet. You're discerning. I love chocolate. Wow. I'm leaving after today, so no, I'm just kidding. And sometimes I crave it. Listen, when my wife was pregnant, my wife didn't have cravings. You see my wife. My wife is, she's beautiful, amazing. She had three kids. My kids, we've had three children, but she doesn't look like she's as thin and like in shape as she was when I first met her. But I'm the one who looks like we had three children. How does that work? It is because, I'm going to give you some substance really soon, I promise you. I had the pregnancy cravings. Sadly, I did. I don't know why. Thank you, Jesus, for those. And I would crave chocolate. Do you know it is impossible to crave something that does not exist? How could you crave chocolate if it didn't exist. The fact that you crave something proves that there's something that exists to meet the craving or the anticipation that's in you. And for any of you that have ever said, there's got to be more than what I'm experiencing, can I tell you, there is. The fact that you crave it shows and proves that there is more to what you're experiencing. There's more to God than what you're experiencing. And here's the great thing about it. Because when I would tell myself this, I would pray till my face was blue. I call it the holy constipation face. Lord, if you would just pour down, I would quote Isaiah, rend the heavens and come down. And I would cause a hernia to happen in my side. And I would just, you know, and I thought if I just squinched my face just a little more, the Lord would be merciful and just and would come down and say, yes, your face is squinted and I will pour out. And how many of you know if you've done this that it doesn't work that way? I want to tell you a fact. God desires you more than you could ever desire Him. You can fast and pray. You can go on a 40-day fast. You can go to the wilderness and beat the temptation of the devil. You can do all this stuff and be, you can even glow in the dark and pray. Can I tell you, even then, God still wants you more than you could ever want Him. And that doesn't mean you need to want Him more. It just says that He loves you so much that He's ready to pour it out. So in a sense, heaven is ready to meet earth. Jesus said, let your kingdom come. We've heard this all through the weekend, on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus lived out of this overflow. Let the kingdom come on earth just as it is in heaven. And so one of the cool things about warriors, and we're talking about warriors this weekend, warriors are inspired by two things. And you can see it in any movie. You can see it in The Patriot. You can see it in The Samurai Warrior. You can see it in any 300. Warriors are driven by two things. Number one, they're driven by the need for justice. You don't believe me? Just watch any warrior movie. I've watched plenty of them. I'm just kidding. And number two, warriors are driven or are inspired by great leaders. Or let me rephrase it, by the presence of those who carry something bigger than them. Let me tell you why you need to be a warrior that is walking in your anointing and your power and walking in what you've been called to do. Because there is a generation right now, we call them the nuns. Not N-U-N-S, meaning like the monastery nuns. The N-O-N-E-S, meaning they have no no religious affiliation. The nuns. 80%, there's a statistic, it could be, depending on who you ask, it's 60 to 80% of high school church-going students, when they go to college, they will never step back into a church again. Not just any high school student. Church-going, Sunday school-attending high school kids. 60 to 80% of them, when they go off to college, they will never attend a church again. Right now, I saw this video, stumbled upon it, and I was upset, and I saw it again and again on Facebook and social media. And there's a game or a thing called Charlie Charlie. And it's mixed upset. It's these two pens and these teenagers or young adults will summon a demon and say, Charlie, Charlie, please come out. It's basically the modern day Ouija board. But you can do it with two pens. And what a generation is doing is they are playing with the demon and inviting them to come into their room. And they're recording it on YouTube and on Instagram and they're putting it out there because they're seeing something so unique and supernatural. Can I tell you, this generation is longing for something more than what they're experiencing. Yet, they are in a culture where church is so prevalent, depending on where you live. I live in the South, throw a rock at a church. Yet, there's a generation that's calling Charlie, Charlie. Why? Because we've become, and not just as a whole, we've been a generation that talks power, but we don't produce power. You can talk something, you can't reproduce what you don't have. You, out of the abundance of the heart, well, let me rephrase it. You can only give what you have. Freely receive, freely give. How would I say this, Lord? A generation is longing for something more. Paul said this. Can you pull this up? He said,
when he says, it's 1 Corinthians, I believe it's chapter 2.
I do not come to you. Oh, there we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. If you get, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Next verse, please. So that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. There's something unique happening in America. I'm going to say it real quick. There is a shifting. I'm sure all of you are feeling this at some point. You're at least seeing it. That Christianity is no longer popular here in America. Oh, let me phrase it. Biblical Christianity is not popular in America. At one point it was. And we're seeing the numbers dwindle because those who thought it was popular to align yourself with the popular religion are not aligning themselves with the popular religion anymore. And what's standing out are those who have a conviction and are really following Jesus. And it's presenting a unique moment in America because there is a splitting happening. There is there's a shifting happening here. And what's taking place is God is removing fluff. When he moves and shakes things, he first starts in the house. And then he starts to shake all around. One reason we're feeling the ways and the things we're feeling is because he will shake that which can be shaken, the Bible says. And a generation is tired of fluff and of talk, and they're looking for something more. Can I tell you, God has always been looking for not just fluff and talk. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, he told the Pharisees, if you don't believe me, believe on the signs that I'm showing you. Because they point that out came from the Father. So I was saying, leaders are inspired by two things. The presence of greatness. You guys want to be a leader that is moved. I just shared with you the need. There's a generation longing for you. Romans 8 says, all creation groans and waits for the sons of God to be revealed. Romans 8 continues to say, those who are led of the Spirit will be called sons of God. Why are sons important? Because it takes a son to reveal a father. I'm going to say that again. Servants don't reveal fathers, sons do. One of the cool, I have three children, two boys, oldest and youngest are boys, and my daughter's right in the middle. We planned it that way to protect her, and I have a shotgun just in case. Praise the Lord. And here's the thing. Now, my kids have seen me minister. I'm a big laying hands on people, praying for healing and such. And every so often in family prayer, I'll lay my hands on them and anoint them and bless them. The Bible talks about blessing your children. Do you know what my children do now when they pray for, when we tell them to pray? My daughter's so precious. Her name's Alicia, 3 years old. She comes up to me and she lays hands on my head. She says, Lord, bless Daddy. There's nothing that moves me so, nothing that moves me so much. I want to say to John, I think it's John who says this. Be imitators of God. And live a life full of love. Another verse, be imitators of your daddy. My son, when I go home, he takes my shoes and walks around it. I'm like, why are you walking in those shoes? Because I'm being like daddy. And can I tell you something? God is calling you to be like him. Be imitators of God. Some of you are saying, dude, how can I be like Jesus? That's incredible. That's kind of crazy. Can I tell you what? Jesus lived in a way that you can live too. We talked about this, one of the preachers, we heard about this yesterday. Jesus lived not in the fullness of the deity of 100% God. He was 100% God, 100% man. But he didn't just fulfill and operate in the godness alone. Why do I say that? He says two things. Number one, when he went into the wilderness, he was tempted, but he was led by the Spirit. The Bible says, being led by the Spirit, Jesus went into the wilderness. Can you put up, I think it's John 12. Jesus said, it might be John 10 or John 12. John 10 is part of the first verse. He said, I don't do a single thing unless I see my Father doing it. Guys, hear me out. It is impossible to have an encounter with God and to leave the same way you came in. It is impossible to have an encounter with the tangible presence of Jesus, the tangible presence of the Holy Spirit, and to leave the same way you came in. You want proof? Look at Moses. Moses had the best education, the best military training, the best food, and the best fitness club the world could ever provide in Egypt. Yet he has one moment with the presence of God in the burning bush, and his life is never the same again. A nation called Israel is never the same again, and a nation called Egypt is never the same again.
So let me ask you a question. What nation is waiting for you to have an encounter with God? One encounter, guys. One encounter. And out of that came a warrior. Out of an encounter for Gideon came a warrior. Out of an encounter, David lived with encounters. David lived in the presence, and he was always a warrior, and he produced warriors. It is so pivotal that you live in the fullness of the secret place, meaning you spend time with the Lord. Felipe talked about this. Antoine talked about this. Many of the speakers talked about this. You have to spend time with Jesus if you want to be a warrior that will be used by him. Because we can do the work of ministry and forget about the one who we're talking about. I've been guilty of it plenty of times. But I'm going to say that again. You can do the work of ministry and forget about the one we're talking about. It's like having a car without a battery. When you take that battery out, you try to push that car, you'll move it a little bit, but you will not get anywhere near as far as you could with the battery, with the power source in there. And can I tell you something? Jesus is the power source that we need to do successful ministry. And if you do ministry without him, let me tell you, it will burn you out. You will get exhausted just like pushing a car with no battery. Some of you are saying, well, dude, I don't push cars with no battery. That's a good idea. It's probably good not to do ministry without knowing Jesus. Spend time with him, guys. Spend time with him. Spend time in the secret place. All that means is this. Devote time alone with the Lord. You make time for that which is important to you. I make time to work out. I make time to spend time with the Lord. I make time to spend time with my wife. I make time to spend time with my children. I don't have it all figured out. Most of the time, I'm with Lee. I'm like, Lee, I don't know how to do this, man. Right? I don't know how to do all of this. Lee, I don't know how to do all this. I'm weeping. Felipe, I don't know how to do all this. He's like, dude, just shut up. Felipe's kind of like smack you in the face and say, just go. Lee's the father. I love Lee, man. I love you too, Phil. I love you too, man. The Brazilians can testify of this. Listen, spend time with the Lord. He wants to download information. He wants to show you things. He wants to teach you things. He wants to give you ideas that the world needs right now. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you creative ideas. Why in the church do we lack creativity when he is the creator? Why does most of America's creativity come out of Cupertino, where Apple is, or out of Google, or out of some of these major firms? And in the church, we lack it. I struggle with this myself because I serve the creative God. He's made me in his image and his likeness. Let me tell you what. You're saying, bro, I want to spend time with God, but I don't hear his voice. Let me tell you what. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. It is not a promise. It's not a suggestion. It is a fact. You've been created to hear his voice. Something charismatics and Pentecostals we tend to do, when we pray, we do all the talking. Has anyone... okay. BC, before I was saved, I used to watch a movie called Jay and Silent Bob. Now, Jay and Silent Bob is really vulgar. I don't recommend anyone watching it. But it's the premise of this one tall dude named Jay and this one guy named Silent Bob. Now, the only reason Silent Bob was so silent was because Jay always talked. And when Silent Bob was about to speak, Jay would interrupt and talk again. And here's the thing. Whenever Silent Bob ever said something, it was like the most profound thing you've ever heard. And Jay would be like, dude, why didn't you say that 2 hours ago? He's like, well, I tried. And then he gets interrupted. I would venture to say that we tend to be like Jay. Yes. And the Bible says, be still and know. That's the hardest thing. I had the hardest time doing this because I'm Pentecostal. I want to pray and pray in the Spirit. I love all that stuff. But there's got to come a point where you just kind of shut up. Stay silent. Excuse me. Sorry. Stay silent before the Lord. Sit in the secret place. And listen, just take about at least 5-10 minutes before... Lord, is there anything you want to say? He is a speaking God, guys. Psalmist says, once have you spoken, twice have I heard. It's such an interesting thing because he speaks in eternity. We live in time. I won't get into that. Meaning this, guys. Just quiet down for a second. Turn off the cell phone. Listen, pray. You have things in your heart. You want to pray in the Spirit. Go for it. Do it. But listen, take time to just listen. Lord, whatever you want to say, I want it. Speak to me, Lord. And you may not get it the first day. You may not hear something the second day. You may not hear something the third day. But if you do it for 14 days straight, I want to almost promise you that you will hear the voice of God. It may not be in that quiet time. It may be while you're driving. Why? Why then and not when you're that quiet? Because you're tuning your ear to hear. Listen, in this room, do you know there's right now, there's Tupac, there's Jay-Z going on here, Taylor Swift, all this stuff is going on in this room. Why? Because radio waves are bombarding this room. The only reason we don't hear it is because we don't have a radio tuned into the frequency. It's all around you. Can I say the voice of God and the plans of God is all around you. We just got to tune the frequency. I'm gonna speed up here. Learn to hear the voice of God. Spend time with Him. Spend time with Him. The best thing I ever did was make a dedication to spend time with the Lord. Spend time with Him. Listen, number two, I'll say this. If you're going to be a warrior, put on your own armor. Don't wear someone else's armor. It's true. I love Lee. But his armor is not mine. God has put something on me to do, and I have to be faithful to that. I receive instruction. I receive correction. I receive the things I need to, but I don't put on his armor and say, hey, let me go talk to the women. It's not my thing. My wife is probably awesome at doing that. If you guys want to call her and invite her to your... Just kidding. I'm just kidding, guys. You're getting to laugh. Here's what I'm saying. When you have to say that, it's a really bad joke. I understand. David did not put on the armor of Saul. Here's another thing. Samuel had an ephod, an outfit made from every year. His mom made a new outfit from every year. Why? Because he would grow and he needed a new outfit. He would grow, he needed a new outfit. If you put on someone else's armor, you will not grow in it. It will restrict you in the season you're in. But if you can allow the Lord to put the right armor on for you for that time and that season, you will learn to grow in what you're called to do. Let me tell you what. You have not been anointed to be the next Lee Grady. You've been anointed to be the next you. Amen. And no one can be David Abraham like I am. No one can be Lee Gray like he is. No one can be Matt Judd like he is. No one can be Phil, I always mispronounce your last name, bro, sorry, like he is. So why try to be him? When I first started ministry, listen, I promise you, I'll be like, come on, get ready, get ready, get ready. Everyone, you gotta pray. I watch T.D. Jakes a lot, so I always say, get ready, get ready, get ready. I can't do the dance. Get ready, you know? Half my message was talking about get ready. I love Jakes, but I could not do what he did. And it would sound ridiculous coming from me. And then later on, you know, I promise you I did this too. Before I started this prayer, I said, guys, hold up your Bible. And say, this is my Bible. I will do everything it says I can do. And I would talk like this. Like, and I would be so nice. And I try to be nice. I mean, I'm not trying to be mean. But I can't be Joel Osteen like Joel Osteen is. But God hasn't called me to be Joel or TD or Benny or whoever else is out there right now. Robert Madu or Rich Wilkerson Jr. or Paul Muzicek. God's called me to be David Abraham. And I can walk in the authority that God's called me to because I am walking in my own armor. Learn to hear the voice of God. Why is that important? I'm going to get back to that. How much time? What time is it? Okay, cool. Listen, guys. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. I'm going to say that again because there's two people that believe it. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. I got to take my wife to Niagara Falls last year. How many of you have been to Niagara Falls? It's beautiful, beautiful place. There is a park right across the main street that connects to the falls, the same body of water. And in this park is this quiet, still brook with ducks that poop all over the place. Beautiful, beautiful. Stinky, but beautiful. And then just 500 feet down is a roaring, rushing fall, a body of water that is pounding down into these falls. Same body of water. One is more free to move. And guys, the Holy Spirit, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, that lives in you, is waiting to be let out. Not like a small, quiet river with poop all around, but like a mighty, rushing river that is falling and pounding on a generation with the power of God. I read the Bible. I didn't believe that. I read the Bible one day, and I was reading the book of John, chapter 14. And I read this verse, and it just astounded me. I couldn't believe I read this, because it changed the way I ever saw anything. John 14:12. Can you pull that up? Jesus is talking to his secret service guys. The guys that are closest to him. And he said, guys, listen. The things I do, you're going to do it. Yeah. Now, what's the greatest miracle that Jesus did? Just raise your hand. In your opinion, what's the greatest miracle? Raising the dead. Yeah, he goes to a funeral and messes it up. I know he does that all the time. Hey, anyone else? No one else knows the miracles. Like, that's the best one. I don't want to say anything.
Water into wine.
We got to pray for this brother. He loves that miracle the best. Yes. I like that one too. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes.
His own resurrection.
Anyone else? Casting out demons, walking on water. The biggest fish fry, all this awesome stuff. Right? Here's the awesome thing about Jesus. Listen, he lived in two manners. He was led by the Spirit, and he was without sin. Can I tell you, when you walk with Jesus, and you say, wash away my sin, you are in the same position he's in. Why do we make the excuse that he was without sin, and I'm a sinful person? When did Jesus tell his disciples, you sinful person? When in 2 Corinthians he said, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm sorry, you touched on a nerve, because I'm tired of the crutch. I'm tired of the crutch that says, I can't do. In the Indian church, I see all the time, we have leaders that pray and say, Lord, we're so unworthy, we're so unworthy, we're so unworthy. And I want to get the mic and say, well, if you're so unworthy, why did he die for you? Why are you worth his son's life? Something he sees in you is worth dying for. And when you call upon his name, you say, wash away my sin. He remembers your sin no more. So the only thing he's waiting for is a person who's led by the Spirit, just like he was. He changed the world in 3.5 years. He imparted on 12 people, and they turned the world upside down. Why? Completely led by the Holy Spirit. This is why I'm telling you, so important to be led by the Spirit. Because the things he wants to do is not the same things he's always done. Let me give an example, and then we're going to close with this. Moses, one of the most awesome dudes in Scripture. God, they're leading the people, the whining, crying people. Pastors, you know what I'm talking about. Just kidding. And secretly you're like, yeah, I totally know what you're talking about. They're giving me like high fives in the back. I got you. So Moses is leading the people. And they're like, dude, we're hungry, bro. We're thirsty, man. We're so thirsty. They're like, kids, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Like, dude, shut up. We're going to be there. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? He says, Lord, I'm tired of these people. They're so thirsty. What do we do? And he said, okay, Moses? I'm sorry. Let me get my James Thrasher. I love your voice, by the way. James Thrasher, where is he? Your voice. I love your voice. I'm going to try to pretend to be you as the voice of God. James Earl Jones. It sounds like that. Moses, there's a rock out there. I want you to strike the rock, and out of the rock will be water. And that water will be the water that people drink. Okay, God, pretty cool. Hey, guys, thank the Lord for all he's done. Jesus' name, amen. Well, he didn't say Jesus' name. You know, in the land that's coming, amen. Boom! Strikes the rock, water flows. We all know that story, right? Oh, if we don't, water flows and people are happy. Way down the road, Moses, the faithful servant of God, the Bible says he's the most humblest person in the Bible. Who wrote that? It was Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but still, I'm just saying. And same situation. The rock is there. They're so whiny and they're thirsty. And he says, God, these people are thirsty. You didn't bring us out here to die. What do we do? He goes, Moses, there's a rock. Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah, this happened before. Okay, listen, Moses, listen, before you get caught up. This time I want you to speak to the rock. Man, you know he's charismatic. This is crazy stuff. Speak to the rock. It's okay to laugh. Okay, God, I'm going to do it. And so he gets up there and he's about to speak to the rock. And he gets so frustrated because the people are still whining. Hey, bro, we need this. Why aren't we seeing this breakthrough? Why is this not happening? Why is this not taking place? Why are the things that I'm praying for? Why haven't they happened yet? Why are the things I believe in God for? Why isn't it happening yet? Why? I'm not receiving that breakthrough. And then he's just so frustrated. So he takes the rod and strikes the rock. And here's the thing. God didn't strike Moses. Here's what happened. Water flowed, and the people got to drink. You're saying, dude, that's the same thing that happened last time. What's the difference? God wanted him to speak to the rock. And because he didn't do that, he said, you know what, Moses? You can't enter the promised land.
Because what's about to take place, the place you're going to go, I need you to be in tune to what I'm saying. Because you're not going to be wanderers, now you're going to be warriors. And your first battle is not with swords or with guns, or there's no guns back then, swords or knives, it's going to be with a marching band. And if you tend to do what's successful all the time, you will miss when he says, use a marching band to heal the nation. When you tend to default to what's successful, you will always miss the thing that God is doing right now. And what God is doing right now can change the destiny of your city forever. Can we get tired of just praying the things that we are capable of doing and pray for the things that only God can do? What time is it? What time? I'm trying to stay within time. I've probably gone over, haven't I? 9 seconds. 9 seconds. I'm going to say one last statement. I'm going to do my best. I just lost it, didn't I? 9 seconds, gone. For my story is this. I grew up in the church. I said, there's got to be more than this. Oh, man. Can I say this? Awesome. Can I say this? Okay. I said, there's got to be more than this. I grew up in the church. I was depressed. I went to college. Listen, I always thought God was angry with me. I thought he's after me, he's angry with me. And the next bad thing I do, he's going to strike me down and kill me. I just thought he was so angry with me for whatever reason. And I go to college and I just kind of do my own college thing. And then eventually I become depressed and suicidal. Pastor's kid, grew up in the church. A friend of mine, you met him, he invited me. He's like, dude, come to a youth group tonight. I said, I don't want to go to youth group. They're all hypocrites and blah, blah, blah. He goes, I'll pay for your dinner afterwards. I'll go to dinner, we'll pay for it. I said, bro, I'm there. You want a disciple? You want to find disciples? Pay for their food. Amen. Find some college students and say, hey, I'll take you out to lunch. I'll take you out to dinner. Dude, you'll have the largest church in the city. Partially true. And so I went out there. I was in a service. I remember walking in. I'm weeping. I didn't know why I was weeping. It was the presence of God was so heavy in the room. This dude comes up to me, lays hands on me and does this. He goes, afterwards I come to the altar call. He places his hand on me. He says, dude, you've been going through this and this. You've been praying about this. Your mom's praying for you for this too. I said, how do you know that stuff? And he said, because the Holy Spirit's speaking to me. And I said, wait, the Holy Spirit who's up there is speaking to you right now, down here about me? And he said, yeah. And I've been in church all my life, but I did not know that God speaks like that. I gave my life to the Lord. Next week I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. Do you know I was praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 2 years, but the reason I couldn't receive it is because I thought God was angry with me? You cannot receive a free gift. You cannot receive a gift from someone because when you think they're angry at you. But you can only receive a gift from someone you believe and know that loves you. And he's ready to use you guys, oh man, yes. To use you guys to go out into the streets, go out into the world, and present an encounter with Jesus. I was at BP gas station. I'm really going to end. I promise you, Leah, I don't want to look at your face because I'm worried you're going to be mad. And this is just one example because I've grown in knowing that God's not angry with me. He loves me. The Bible says how great the Father loves you. How great the manner of love the Father has lavished upon us that we'd be called sons of God. And yes, that's who you are. And I'm walking in this confidence. I'm at BP gas station. I'm just filling up the gas. I'm not singing how great is our God. I'm just filling up. There's a dude over there and we do one of these things. What's up, man? He goes, what's up? And the Lord says something to me because I'm learning to hear the voice of God. I'm learning he wants me more than I want him. And I'm learning to spend time. I've spent time with him hearing his voice. I really am going to end, I promise. I said, is there anything you need God to do in your life right now? He goes, yeah. And I said, do you have pain in your body? He goes, yeah. I said, and then I got this feeling. Usually when I get a feeling in my body immediately, I kind of tend, maybe that's that person's thing. I've just noticed that with me. I don't know if that's it to everyone. Like, do you have pain in your back? He goes, yeah. I said, is your lower right side? He goes, how did you know that? And he's looking at me like I'm a Jedi master. It's pretty cool. And I'm like, dude. I know. I'm like, I didn't tell him how. I said, listen, can I pray for you? He goes, sure. Like, you know that, so sure. And I said, what's your name? And he told me the name. And I said, on the scale of 1 to 10, how bad's the pain? He goes, 7. 7. And I said, all right, let's pray. He said, real quick prayer. I didn't pray in tongues. And I would love to pray in tongues, but it just would have been weird for him. I said, in Jesus' name, I just thank you, God. You love this guy. So just pray, touch his back right now. Holy Spirit, just be releasing his back in Jesus' name. I said, do something you couldn't do before. And the dude does this. Bends down, touches his feet, which I can't do because of my belly. And he starts cursing. Bleep, 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 blah. I'm like, oh my Lord. Did he just break his back?
And I said, but listen, no. I am a minister of the gospel. So, sir, what happened to you? I am Mr. Anyway, so what happened, dude? And he goes, I could not do this for 3 years. On a scale of 1 to 10, where's the pain? He goes, it's 0. I could not bend my back. I have no pain. I've had pain for 3 years. I have no pain anymore. I cannot believe this. And I said, that's Jesus working the outside. He wants to work in the inside. Do you know Jesus? He said, no. Share the gospel and pray for him. Gave him a card to our church. And just, dude, let me tell you what. The healing and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, belong here, but they operate better out there. I can tell you stories upon stories, and I'm not going to because I see Lee. People getting healed at Taco Bell at the drive-thru. People getting healed at Publix. People that have been burned out in ministry 20, 30 years getting healed, having an encounter with the love of God, repenting and coming back to walking with Jesus. People who were pastors before at Publix, which is a grocery store in Florida. They make the best subs ever, by the way. People at Arby's, a drug dealer getting healed at Arby's, getting saved at Arby's because he got a prophetic word. The dude that was as big as Paul Bryan, I thought he was going to punch me in the face because I told him you need to repent right now. Only because the Holy Spirit told me to do that. Almost punched me in the face. I was so scared. I got punched in New York once because I did that though. Dude gives his life to Jesus. Now he's getting trained to be a pastor. He's winning drug dealers in Tampa. Can I tell you what? I don't glow in the dark when I pray. I don't like, I don't do any weird. Listen, I'm just aspiring to do what Jesus did. Just be the king and the warrior. You're a royal priesthood, guys. You're not just serving under Jesus. You are a co-laborer. So we're going to pray, guys, for you guys to walk in the power of the Spirit. To walk in the power of the Spirit. I know Lee's going to be coming up. Listen, I want to tell, the Holy Spirit is speaking to me this morning about someone. You've been here this whole weekend, and you've been receiving breakthrough, but this morning, the enemy has been speaking to you like, you know what? I don't think you've actually received any breakthrough. And that sounded ridiculous to me, but I know the Holy Spirit is clearly speaking to me. The enemy is bringing doubt in your mind. Can I tell you what? God is actually doing what he's been doing this weekend, and he's going to do it greater, and he wants to just seal you with the Spirit in such great power and might. There's someone in here, you've been having an issue with your left arm. It's a muscle issue. It's been twitching or some issue like that. It's the other side of your elbow, right here. God wants to bring healing to you. There's someone here, you have back pain. And it's not back pain because of the beds at the hotel, which are awesome, by the way. But God wants to bring healing to you guys. Can we stand? I'm going to have Lee continue. But if that's you, if you have one of those issues, I want you to come down. We're going to pray for you. Because God wants to bring healing. He wants to touch you in a powerful way tonight. This morning, guys. He wants to baptize you afresh. Lee.